Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christine, and I'll be reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Mozart in Midland by B.K. Richter, staff writer. The West Texas Symphony presents the Permian Basin String Quartet Spring Recital titled Reflections in C on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at First Methodist Midland Chapel. The performance will feature what is considered one of Mozart's most earth-shaking developments when meeting composer Joseph Haydn and hearing his Opus 33 quartets. Reportedly, the chance encounter between the two musicians inspired Mozart to compose his 6 Haydn quartets. The work received the nickname Dissonance in the 1780s because of the clashing pitches, cross relations, and its slow introduction resulting from Mozart's bold approach to counterpoint, writes Jane Vielhoffe. The Permian Basin performance will also feature the work of composer Dmitri Shostakovich and his first string quartet, the String Quartet No. 1 in C Major, Opus 49. 4 string performers will carve out these composers' musical offerings for the audience, consisting of Romina Demock, violin, Gabriella St. James, violin, Dr. Conrad Sklar, viola, and Seonon Kim, cello. A native of Honduras, Demock has served in several professional orchestras in Honduras, Guatemala, and Texas. She was a member of the National Symphony of Honduras for 7 years, the Amarillo Symphony and Laredo Philharmonic Orchestra, and lastly, a proud member of the West Texas Symphony since 2019. She has taught several young musicians and has a record of UIL sweepstakes in various schools in both Odessa and Midland. Demock holds 2 bachelor's degrees from the National University of Honduras in Music Performance and Foreign Languages, and has completed 2 master degrees in Music Performance and Interdisciplinary Studies, along with a string quartet certificate from WTAMU. Gabriella St. James works at Milam Elementary, where she teaches Suzuki pedagogy from kindergarten to 5th grade students. St. James was a member of several orchestras, including Newark Symphony, Williamsport Symphony, Altoona Symphony, Binghamton Symphony, Fireland Symphony, and Mansfield Symphony. St. James holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree from the University of Delaware, where she studied with Zhang Gao. She also holds 2 masters, the first from Pennsylvania State University, majoring in music performance, and studied under Max Zorin and James Lyon, and the second master's at Ithaca College in music performance under Carrie Runing Hummel and Calvin Wiersma. Dr. Conrad Sklar has performed chamber and orchestral music from Colorado to the East Coast. His work includes international performances such as the Saarburg International Music Festival in Germany and Siena International Music Program in Italy. Dr. Sklar received his master's degree in 2017 from the Manhattan School of Music, studying with Karen Ritzer. He then proceeded to the University of Colorado, where he served as a viola studio graduate assistant. In 2020, he received his Doctor of Musical Arts degree, studying with Erica Eckert and Jerry Walther. Last but not least, Seonon Kim has been featured as a soloist, chamber artist, teacher, recording artist, and orchestral musician in the UK and South Korea. Kim has collaborated with eminent musicians such as Quator Ebin, Arnold Steinhardt, and Ronald Leonard. In 2015, she recorded soundtracks for a BBC documentary titled Planet Earth 2 under Hans Zimmer. She has also performed in WDCH as a part of the Piatigorsky International Cello Festival 2016, sharing the stage with world-renowned cellists such as Mischa Maschi, Thomas Dominga, Matt Hemovitz, Franz Helmersen, Giovanni Solima, and many more. Currently, Kim is a doctoral of music arts candidate at Texas Tech University, where she studies with Jeffrey Lestrapes. She obtained her Bachelor of Music and Artist Diploma degrees from the Colbert Conservatory of Music in Los Angeles, where she studied with Ronald Leonard, and achieved a 2014 Colbert Teaching Fellowship under the guidance of Dr. Robert A. Duke. Tickets for the performance are $25, and there is a reduced rate available for students. More information, visit www.wtxs.org/concerts/23-24-season.html. Legacy High Chevron Team to Promote Energy Careers by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Chevron sent several of its leading women to Legacy High School Monday to discuss opportunities available in the oil and gas industry, particularly in a major producing area like the Permian Basin. We brought our women leaders to honor Women's History Month and their legacy. Women are leaders, said Katie Matthews, Public and Government Affairs Advisor. She added, having women at the table at Chevron and throughout the industry is incredibly important. We need their perspectives. Matthews said diversity and inclusion are incredibly important to the industry. That's why the discussion was not limited to Legacy's female students. There were a number of male students in attendance as well. Courtney Hurd, a Chevron production supervisor, said she got a sneak peek at the industry from her family's involvement in the industry in Houston. She added that she enjoyed math in high school and that served as a bridge into her career. She expressed to her audience that pride in how her work helped Chevron not only in its efforts to reach its goal of producing 1 million barrels of oil a day from its Permian Basin assets, but how that production has a global impact. Kay Lutoskansky, a reservoir engineer, said she was more into numbers in high school. She also found her way into the industry through a career panel similar to the one she was a part of. Our team determines good places to drill and analyzes the results and determines how to best operate those wells. Stephanie Alvarez, operations advisor, works with different groups to put together projects and help them get funding. She told the students how she was recruited out of college and wanted them to take away from the discussion that there are a lot of career opportunities in the industry. People think it's just skilled trades and field engineering, and there is a lot, but there are a lot of disciplines needed for the industry to function, she said. She also stressed to students that the industry is working hard to minimize and improve its environmental footprint. Nicole Barber, manager for policy, government, and public affairs, offered herself as an example of the broad range of opportunities in the industry, noting she joined Chevron in 2006 as an engineer. I've done a lot of different things, she said, like to tell people that anything with the Chevron name on it, but not the gas stations, was done by my group. Barber highlighted for the students how everyone on the globe is connected by their need for energy, and with the world's population growing, that demand for energy will also continue to grow. Matthews offered one last but important piece of advice to any of the students wondering how to get into the industry. Start preparing early. That will make it easier. Chow Down for Charity. Senior Life, Meals on Wheels Odessa to receive Jersey Mike's proceeds Wednesday by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. On Wednesday, 100% of proceeds from Jersey Mike's subs will go to Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa, according to Meals on Wheels of Odessa. The nationwide sandwich chain is celebrating its 14th annual day of giving on Wednesday at both Midland and Odessa locations. The press release states, "This is one of my favorite fundraisers because it is almost unheard of that a company gives back at 100%, said Craig Stoker, executive director of Meals on Wheels of Odessa. Most businesses will make customers say the magic word or jump through other hoops and then donate 10%. But Jersey Mike's subs is all in, and their efforts go a long way to support the Meals on Wheels programs operating in both Midland and Odessa. I am also very excited to partner with Senior Life Midland on this event to help bring awareness about issues our older community members face in both Midland and Odessa. When we work together, our communities will only grow stronger, and I am so proud to partner with an outstanding organization like Senior Life Midland. Jersey Mike's also encourages patrons to support their local charity partners with donations at the register. All orders will qualify, including orders placed online through the Jersey Mike's app and food delivery apps like Uber Eats Eats, and DoorDash. Kathleen Kerwin-Haney, Executive Director of Senior Life Midland, stated food insecurity among elderly homebound in Midland-Odessa is a growing issue, especially with inflation increasing. Jersey Mike's Day of Giving provides our entire community an opportunity to make a difference for local elderly clients of Meals on Wheels. Let Jersey Mike's do the cooking on March 27th, whether for an office lunch, church meeting, or family dinner. Know you are helping to give back to our elderly neighbors who need our help. Chelsea Ledvina Lubbock. Funeral services for Chelsea Jean Ann Stroud Ledvina will be held at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, at First Baptist Church, with Reverend Kyle Strawn officiating. Visitation will be at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, March 26, 2024, at Ratliff Funeral Home in Denver City, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Troy Ratliff and Ratliff Funeral Home. Memorials can be made to the American Cancer Society. Glenda Tomerlin Winters, 81, of Winters, Texas, walked the road home to be with her Lord on March 23, 2024. Visitation will be Tuesday, March 26, from 6 to 8 p.m., and funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 27, with Terry Easley officiating. Both the visitation and service will be held at the Hamill Family Funeral Home at 6449 Buffalo Gap Road, Abilene, Texas. Burial will follow at 2 p.m. at Sipe Springs Cemetery at 1051 County Road 192, Comanche, Texas. Memories may be shared and condolences submitted online at www.hamillfamilyfuneralhome.com. Oscar Lee Campbell, age 100, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord March 22nd, 2024. A visitation will be held Friday, March 29th, 2024, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home at 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. A funeral service will be held at Greater Ideal Baptist Church, 411 South Tyler Street, Midland, Texas, starting at 11 a.m. Interment will immediately follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery at 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Lillian Catherine Zettler passed away on March 23, 2024, in San Angelo, Texas. She was 91 years old. Visitation will be held from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 27th, at Harper Funeral Home in San Angelo. A celebration of her life will be held on March 28th at 10 a.m. at Harper Funeral Home. Interment will follow at 1 p.m. in Abilene, Texas, at the Veterans Cemetery. Family and friends can share online condolences at www.harper-funeralhome.com. Van Norman Rogers, 73, of Midland, passed away Friday, March 22, 2024. He was born on October 25, 1950. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, March 27, 2024, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home at 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral services will be held Thursday, March 28, at 11 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church at 800 West Texas Avenue in Midland. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. T.H. Russum, 94, of Midland, passed away March 24, 2024. A memorial service will be held on Friday, March 29, 2024, at 10:30 a.m. at Alamo Heights Baptist Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. John Wayne Schuler, 47, of Midland, passed away on March 24, 2024. A viewing will be held Thursday, March 28, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held on Friday, March 29, 2024, at 2 p.m. in the First Baptist Church, with Darren Wood officiating. Interment immediately following in American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, March 26th. UTPB takes steps to make admission easier. Selected Ector County and Midland ISD students will get a surprise next week when they receive a hand-delivered letter from University of Texas Permian Basin, telling them they have been admitted to University of Texas Permian Basin. UTPB announced its direct admissions for high school seniors program at a Monday news conference at the University Library. The program will provide qualified high school seniors with automatic admission to UTPB. The program aims to celebrate serving students, opening the door of opportunity, and simplifying the college enrollment process, a news release said. ECISD and MISD seniors with GPAs of at least 2.75 qualify for direct admissions to UTPB. This will benefit more than 1,300 students in both districts, the release said. This year, 795 ECISD and 539 MISD students will be eligible. In fall 2023, 156 MISD students were admitted and 99 enrolled, and 403 ECIS students were accepted and 178 enrolled. Students must complete a direct admission form online. Apply Texas is not needed. Send the Office of Admissions your official transcript or bring it to UTPB when the admissions team is on your campus, and watch your email inbox for the link to sign up for new student orientation, the release said. Senior Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Becky Spurlock had the idea for direct admissions about 9 months ago. Because if you ask anyone, they'll tell you how stressful the application process is. The forms, the waiting, the wondering, the figuring it all out, and that's if you have support. What if you're the first in your family to go to college and you've never seen the forms, or you don't have the answers to the questions, Spurlock said. It's so easy to just say, this isn't for me, she added. She said she called many of the people in the room to ask about her idea and got great encouragement and support for her idea. Spurlock said they have received the data they need to make admissions decisions directly for the schools, so they can directly reach out to students to tell them they qualify for admission. You don't have to apply. You are already in. You've done the work, she added. Assistant Vice President for Enrollment Teresa Simpson said the letters to students will go out the first week of April. Parents will also get a postcard in the mail. If students have a 3.0 GPA or above, they will qualify for a merit scholarship. Financial aid is also available, as is the Falcon Free Scholarship. Simpson said all students will get information about Falcon Free. If your household income is $100,000 or less, they qualify. A last dollar award will cover all tuition and fees for students at UTPB. We know what a difference a college education can make in somebody's life over the course of their life, economically, in many other ways, their health and happiness too, Spurlock said. She added that she would like to thank Simpson for all the work she did on the project. Spurlock also thanked others in the room. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray thanked UTPB for making the vision of direct admissions a reality. Thank you for changing lives of the students in our organization that would never have this opportunity without a brilliant thinking and without innovation, Murray said. It is an honor and a privilege to partner with you all, not only in this endeavor, but in the many pieces of work that we do together. On behalf of the 7 members of the Board of Trustees, 2 of which are here today, Tammy Hawkins and Chris Stanley, and the 33,700 students that we serve today, thank you for a grateful school system and a grateful community, he added. Murray said he thinks this will increase the number of ECISD students that enroll in college. This didn't happen because you're a senior. It happened because you're a senior and you worked hard in high school. I think it's a win, and we will have kids go to college because of this, he added. Mary said working in partnership with UTPB, they can shepherd students during the summer to make sure they show up on the first day of university. MISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard, a UTPB graduate, said the mission at her district is to graduate students that are college, career, or military ready. Howard said she had said for years that not all students will go to college, but they want all students to be prepared to go to college if that's what they want. Many times they think they can't go to college because they don't know how to navigate the process, she said. They don't know how to get started filling out the forms, and if they haven't had someone in their family go to college, they don't even think college is for them. But when they get this direct admission and they receive this postcard in the mail, then it opens up that possibility for them. In many cases, this is about dreams and opportunities, Howard said. UTPB President Sandra Woodley said the letter given to students and the postcard to parents will be the first they know of getting admitted to UTPB. It's going to be an exciting opportunity for them to get this oh well moment, Woodley said. She noted that over the next 20 years, more than 38,000 people with a baccalaureate degree will be needed for the workforce. We graduate about 1,200 to 1,300 students every year. We are not on track to fill that entire workforce gap, Woodley said. She added that she wants to thank Odessa College and Midland College. It takes all of us to deliver what we need to the community, so I'm thrilled and excited about the opportunity to make it so much easier for the students in the Permian Basin to say yes to college, Woodley said. Chevron CEO praises basin, bemoans California. Worth said region will produce 1 million barrels a day for company next year. Mention the Permian Basin and California in the same sentence to Chevron Chairman CEO Mike Worth, and you're likely to see a smile followed by a look of consternation. That's because the basin is expected to produce 1 million barrels of oil per day for the company next year, while California, Chevron's home base, since it began as the Pacific Coast Oil Company in 1879, is bedeviling it with the most hostile business conditions in the country. Interviewed by noted author and S&P Global Vice Chairman Daniel Yergin at the recently concluded CERAWeek conference in Houston, Worth said his company's 2025 Permian Basin production goal has been in the works for a number of years. It was close last year with over 800,000 barrels per day as the region pumped a total of almost 6 million barrels a day. CERA is for Cambridge Energy Research Associates. Chevron is based at San Ramon, east of San Francisco. We've been on a steady program to drive capital-efficient development of our position in the basin, which is a large position, and it's a very advantaged one with low or no royalty across most of the acreage, Worth said. And so we're looking to drive strong returns. In doing that, we've been on a trajectory for several years to reach 1 million barrels a day of production in 2025. We continue to be on that path. He said Chevron finished with its highest year of production ever in the Permian last year. We were well north of 800,000 barrels a day in the fourth quarter and will be kind of flat for the first part of this year as we build up some drilled but uncompleted wells and bring on another completion crew in the second half of the year, Worth said. The Permian continues to deliver, and I think it's a great resource for the United States and for this industry. It's another one where, with recoveries at relatively low levels of hydrocarbons in place, if we find ways to use technologies to unlock better recoveries, there's still a tremendous upside. The chairman CEO said the fundamentals of running a company and size the size of Chevron are crucial. As you get up to 800,000 barrels a day, you've got a big base business that you've got to run really well, he said. And so with the things around assets and equipment reliability and offtake capacity, it's the blocking and tackling to run a big business every day that you have to focus on. The incremental production is important, and you want to execute that worth also, Worth said. A 5% slip on 800,000 barrels a day is 40,000 barrels. So you have to pay attention to the fundamentals as you build a business that big. Jurgen asked about the increasingly harsh regulatory environment in California and what you and your colleagues have said is one of the most difficult places to do business. It is, Worth said, referring to the states banning the sale of new gasoline-powered vehicles, restricting and in some instances forbidding new oil wells, in some cities banning gasoline service stations and non-electric lawnmowers, and now prohibiting fracking. California's been pursuing policies to encourage investment in new types of energy technologies and actively working to discourage investment in traditional energy technologies, he said, and they've accomplished their goal. They have made it very difficult to invest in our traditional oil and gas business. We invest where we find an environment that offers prospects for a return, and increasingly those are difficult to find in California. Over time, the production of oil and gas and the availability of refined products are likely to reflect the investment choices that operators are making. Jurgen asks what the company's dialogue with the state of California has been like, and Worth said it's the same as it always has been. The state has environmental objectives that they hold very dear. We try to engage with practical input on what customers are really doing and what markets are doing, and that runs into these aspirational goals. UTPB's College of Education alumni named 2024 Administrator of the Year. UT Permian Basin alum Mark Lopez was recently awarded the 2024 Rosine Fleming Campus Administrator of the Year by the Texas School Counselor Association. Lopez earned his superintendent certification from UTPB. He's currently a middle school principal in San Antonio. I am so fortunate to work with such a high-quality counseling and administrative team. We always work and lead with a kids-first mentality. This is what educators do daily. When we are recognized for our efforts, it's just the icing on the cake, Lopez said. Lopez shared his enjoyment with the flexibility of the superintendent certification program. The online program allowed him to complete his work at his own pace while also working a full-time job. This was my first time taking an online college course. It was convenient to take classes after work and work at the pace I needed. During his time at UTPB, Lopez, alongside Dr. Rod Azut, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership and Program Coordinator for the Superintendent Certification Program, presented research called Choosing Social Interaction Over Social Media During the School Day. This research centered on significant changes and how many schools are adapting the use of technology since the COVID-19 pandemic. Lopez encourages prospective students to choose UTPB for many reasons, but the quality of education UTPB provides is top of the list. You can't beat the high-level learning experience plus the convenient schedule. The Superintendent Certification Program at UTPB is a 16-credit program designed for principals and assistant principals who want to strengthen their skills as school leaders in their district. This certification can be earned in 2 semesters and is one of the only 4-course programs in the state that maintains a practicum component throughout. Pfluger introduces Early Minds Act to address youth mental health crisis. In response to the growing mental health crisis in America, Congressman August Pfluger is proud to announce the introduction of the Early Action and Responsiveness Lifts Youth, Early Minds Act, co-led by Representatives Kathy Castor, John Joyce, and John Sarbanes. This crucial bipartisan legislation aims to provide early intervention and prevention services to children and adults struggling with mental health challenges. According to a news release, recent statistics reveal a concerning trend, with over 20% of youth reporting serious contemplation of suicide in the past year alone. Additionally, 40% of teens report persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, representing a significant increase from previous years. These alarming figures underscore the urgent need for proactive measures to address the mental well-being of our youth. The Early Minds Act seeks to empower states by allowing them to allocate up to 5% of their mental health block grant, MHBG, funding towards prevention and early intervention initiatives. This strategic allocation of resources is critical in identifying and supporting Americans before their mental health challenges escalate. Furthermore, the bill mandates that the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, provide biennial reports to Congress, detailing states' efforts in prevention and early intervention. These reports will include comprehensive information on activities undertaken, demographics of individuals served, achieved outcomes, and any other pertinent data, the release said. Research consistently demonstrates the effectiveness of early intervention in mitigating the severity of mental health challenges among children and adults, said Representative August Pfluger, by allowing states the flexibility to utilize MHBG funds for prevention and early intervention. The Early Minds Act represents a common sense solution to address the worsening youth mental health crisis. Prevention and early intervention are key to avoiding crisis and reducing the severity of mental health issues, particularly in children, said Representative Kathy Castor. As the co-chairman of the Children's Health Care Caucus, I am committed to taking action to keep our youngest neighbors healthy and well. Allowing states to use SAMHSA's Community Mental Health Services Block Grant funding for prevention and early intervention is a common sense approach that will allow us to meet an urgent need. This bipartisan bill will help support the majority of children who are struggling with their mental health by connecting them with evidence-based and effective services when they need it the most. I look forward to working with Representatives Pfluger, Sarbanes, and Joyce to advance this legislation to address our nation's mental health emergency. Helping children in crisis receive the support and care they need is vital to families and communities across our country, said Representative John Joyce. As a physician and co-chair of the Children's Health Care Caucus, I'm proud to co-sponsor the Early Minds Act, which would ensure the SAMHSA's Community Mental Health Services Block Grant resources can be used to address the mental health crisis affecting our nation's youth. The youth mental health crisis impacts every community in this country, regardless of zip code, said Representative John Sarbanes. When 40% of teens report persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, we must do everything we can to wrap our arms around those struggling with mental health challenges and connect them with the resources they need to lead happy, healthy lives. I am proud to join my colleagues in introducing this bipartisan legislation to allow states the critical flexibility to use SAMHSA's Community Mental Health Services block grant funding to prevent and early intervention efforts, which are key to stopping mental health symptoms from escalating. The Early Minds Act has garnered widespread support from leading mental health advocacy organizations, including Mental Health America, Children's Hospital Association, National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors, American Psychology Association, American Psychiatric Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, Center for Law and Social Policy, CLASP, Futures Without Violence, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Youth Villages, Eating Disorder Coalition for Research, Policy and Action, the Carter Center, and Nemours Children's Health. Children's Hospital Association CEO Matthew Cook said, "Proactive early intervention and prevention can dramatically change the trajectory of a child's life by addressing mental health issues before they escalate. The Early Minds Act gives states greater flexibility to make resources available for early detection and prevention services, like mental health screenings, educational support for parents, and interventions for children facing behavioral health challenges." The Children's Hospital Association is grateful for Representative Pfluger, Representative Castor, Representative Joyce, and Representative Sarbanes' bipartisan leadership to take steps to combat the escalating youth mental health crisis. "We already have a youth mental health crisis in our country, and millions of additional youth are at risk of developing a mental health condition," said Tim Clement, Vice President of Federal Government Affairs for Mental Health America, allowing mental health block grant funding to go toward prevention and early intervention is a necessary step that will save lives and foster resiliency. Mental Health America strongly supports the Early Minds Act because it's the right solution at the right time. The American Psychological Association applauds Representatives Pfluger, Castor, Joyce, and Sarbanes for introducing the Bipartisan Early Minds Act, which will help expand quality, evidence-based mental health prevention and early intervention services to all communities, said APA CEO Arthur C. Evans, Jr., Ph.D., intervening before the onset of mental illness is a cornerstone of a population health approach to treatment, allowing the Community Mental Health Services block grant to be used for prevention and early intervention is critical for ensuring that more people, including the very youngest, do not develop mental health conditions and can lead healthy, productive, and fulfilled lives. Neighborhood Watch meeting to focus on online safety. The Odessa Police Department next Neighborhood Watch meeting is scheduled for 7 p.m. Tuesday, March 26th in the OPD classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue. The meeting will cover cybersecurity awareness, online safety, how to protect personal information, and recognizing common online scams and frauds. 2024 Kids College registration opened. Midland College has announced that registration for the 2024 Kids College, a summer enrichment program where children can come to play, have fun, and experience the joy of learning in a safe environment, is now open. It is open to students who will be completing the 1st through 6th grade this spring. This year's Kids College has a new format that will allow kids to take part in a variety of different courses, running Monday through Thursday afternoons from 1 p.m. to 4:45 p.m., this year's schedule is broken down into the following weekly sessions. Week 1, June 3rd through 6th. Week 2, June 10th through 13th. Week 3, June 17th through 20th. Week 4, June 24th through 27th. The 2024 Kids College 4-week program offers more than 25 courses for kids and parents to choose from, including sessions teaching arts, language, sports, STEM, computer coding, math, reading, and robots. This year's program also includes special sessions from partnering vendors Black Rocket, Ninja House, and Science Mill. Limited scholarships will be available and based on the needs of the student. A scholarship application must be completed and submitted to the Kids College office. A link to the scholarship application is on the website www.midland.edu/kidscollege. For more information about the 2024 Kids College and to register, visit www.midland.edu/kidscollege. Landgraf appointed to protect Texas LNG exports amid Biden's ban. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican, Odessa, has been appointed to the House Select Committee on Protecting Texas LNG Exports. The selection committee, created by House Speaker Dade Phelan, Republican, Beaumont, will conduct a comprehensive review of the impacts of the Biden administration's executive action imposing a temporary pause on pending decisions on export permits for the sale of liquefied natural gas, LNG, to non-free trade agreement countries, a news release said. I'm thankful to Speaker Phelan for creating this important committee, Landgraf said in the release. The significance of LNG exports to our state and nation cannot be overstated. It is a matter of concern for not just our economy, but our national security, that the Biden administration is weaponizing the federal government against the energy industry. According to the release, as part of its review, the House Select Committee on Protecting Texas LNG Exports has been charged by Speaker Phelan to analyze the legal authority under the federal action was taken, assess economic, environmental, and social impacts, identify strategies to mitigate the adverse effects on the LNG industry, Texas's energy sector, and the state's economy, and recommend legislative, policy, or other remedial actions to address the challenges posed by the federal suspension of LNG export permits. As a lifelong resident of the Permian Basin, the chairman of the House Environmental Regulation Committee and attorney, I'm uniquely informed and motivated to get to work on this select committee. Whether it's a member of the Select Committee on Protecting LNG Exports, as the chairman of the Environmental Regulation Committee, or simply a West Texan that is absolutely fed up, I will continue to take the fight to the Biden administration and hold them accountable for their failed policies, Landgraf said. The House Select Committee on Protecting Texas LNG Exports will be chaired by Representative Jared Patterson, Republican Frisco. In addition to Representative Landgraf, the committee also includes the following members: Representative Christian Manuel, Democrat Beaumont, Representative Marianne Perez, Democrat Houston, and Representative Cody Vassut, Republican Angleton. Council to take up benefits, parking garage, and property sale. benefits, the city parking garage, and the sale of city-owned property on University Boulevard are among the topics on Tuesday's Odessa City Council agenda. During the City Council's work session at 3 p.m., the council members will discuss the possibility of hiring a consultant who has experience planning and designing employee benefit programs and who can go out to bid for medical, dental, vision, and pharmacy insurance. According to materials provided to the council, the new consultant, who is expected to cost around $244,000, will also be expected to perform financial impact analyses, develop a long-term benefits strategy, and monitor and evaluate performance measures. The council will also be talking about going out to bid for a consultant who can design a new municipal parking garage at North Lee and West 3rd Streets. Two engineering firms agree. The existing two-story, 100 parking spot building is corroding and needs to be replaced. According to documents provided to the council, Jeff Fisher, the strategic development manager for the city's development services department, hopes to build a four-story garage that would include space for at least six micro-retail stores of 200 to 400 square feet each, 280 parking spots and separate parking areas and entrances for the Odessa Police Department. The price tag for the demolition of the existing garage and the design and construction of its replacement is expected to be around $3 million. Also on the work session agenda is the possibility of hiring a consultant who would help the city create a new landscape ordinance that would include new design standards for street trees, parking lots, commercial areas, and industrial areas. It would also create new irrigation practices. The consultant would be required to conduct research and meet with stakeholders, create the ordinance standards, and present the results to the City Council. The Council will also discuss entering a new YMCA management contract for the city's pools and new organizational chart. During the Council's regular session, they'll discuss passing a resolution that will ensure downtown Odessa is no longer a city department. They'll also discuss lowering the sales price of the old fire station number 6 from $350,000 to $295,000. Megan and Andrew Prado of Town and Country Drug, who recently decided to purchase the building, have since discovered the roof needs to be replaced. In addition, the council will hear that from Copper Key Realty, John Harridge, about bids being made on vacant city-owned University Boulevard lots. Congressman Pfluger to host Chairman Jim Jordan in Odessa. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, will host Chairman Jim Jordan, Republican, Ohio, in Odessa for a town hall-style event from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday, April 3rd, with a Washington update and open questions from attendees. The event is open to the public and all members of the media, and will be held at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, first floor, Wolf Camp Room, 305 East 5th Street. Light refreshments will be provided. Attendees are encouraged to RSVP at tinyurl.com/PflugerJordan. Jersey Mike's annual Day of Giving to support local Meals on Wheels organizations. Hoping to raise a record-breaking amount for Midland and Odessa's Meals on Wheels programs, Jersey Mike's Subs is bringing together Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa to join forces for good. To celebrate the company's 14th annual Month of Giving fundraising campaign, Jersey Mike's Subs selected Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa as the local charities they will support with 100% of their proceeds on their 14th annual Day of Giving, which will be held Wednesday, March 27th at both Midland and Odessa's Jersey Mike's sublocations. This is one of my favorite fundraisers because it is almost unheard of that a company gives back 100%. Craig Stoker, Executive Director of Meals on Wheels of Odessa, said in a news release, "Most businesses will make customers say the magic word or jump through other hoops and then donate 10%. But Jersey Mike's Subs is all in, and their efforts go a long way to support the Meals on Wheels programs. Operating in both Midland and Odessa, I am very excited to partner with Senior Life Midland on this event to help bring awareness about issues our older community members face in both Midland and Odessa. When we work together, our communities will only grow stronger, and I am proud to partner with an outstanding organization like Senior Life Midland." Kathleen Kirwan Haney, Executive Director of Senior Life Midland, said in the release, "Food insecurity among elderly homebound in Midland, Odessa is a growing issue, especially with inflation increasing. Jersey Mike's Day of Giving provides our entire community an opportunity to make a difference for local elderly clients of Meals on Wheels. Let Jersey Mike's do the cooking on March 27th, whether for an office lunch, church meeting, or family dinner. Know you are helping to give back to our elderly neighbors who need our help." March is the month of giving, and in addition to the Day of Giving, Jersey Mike's Subs has encouraged patrons to support their charity partners with donations at the register. During the Month of Giving campaign, a $5 donation will get you a coupon for a free sub on your next visit. Please join the Jersey Mike's Subs Day of Giving Wednesday, March 27th, at both Jersey Mike's Subs locations in Midland and Odessa. 100% of all sales will be donated to local Meals on Wheels programs operated by Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa. All orders will qualify, including orders placed online through the Jersey Mike's Subs app and even through food delivery apps like Uber Eats and DoorDash. Jersey Mike's Subs locations in Midland and Odessa: Midland Cornerstone Shopping Center, 4400 Midland Drive, number 700. Midland, open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Odessa Parks Legato Town Center, 7270 Texas 191, Suite 214, Odessa, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. UTPB launches Direct Admissions Program for High School Seniors. The University of Texas Permian Basin is excited to announce the launch of their new Direct Admissions Program with Ector County ISD and Midland ISD. Direct Admissions will provide qualified high school seniors with automatic admission to UTPB. This innovative program aims to celebrate deserving students, open the door of opportunity, and simplify the college enrollment process. According to a news release, ECISD and MISD, high school seniors with a GPA of at least 2.75 qualify for direct admissions to UTPB. This will benefit over 1,300 students in both high school districts who can reach their full potential with a bachelor's degree from UTPB. All students have to do is complete three easy steps. Number one, complete the quick and easy direct admissions form online. Apply Texas is not needed. Number two, send the Office of Admissions your official transcript or bring it to us when our admissions team is on your campus. Dates and details coming soon. Number three, watch your email inbox for a link to sign up for new student orientation. Direct admissions allow seniors to skip the Apply Texas application. Once qualifying students complete the steps above, they are UTPB bound. We are thrilled to introduce the Direct Admissions Program at UTPB. This program reaffirms our commitment to providing higher educational opportunities for students in our community. Our goal is to help students realize that college is possible and affordable. We are here to help, said Dr. Becky Spurlock, Senior VP of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management. UTPB's Visionary Initiative is a beacon of hope designed to empower our students by shattering barriers and making college more accessible and attainable than ever before. This collaboration is not just about admissions. It's about inspiration. It's about ensuring that every student, regardless of background or circumstance, is prepared for success and equipped with the tools and opportunities to pursue their academic dreams. Together, we are not just opening doors, but also paving pathways to a brighter future for all our students. This partnership is a testament to our shared dedication to transforming aspirations into tangible achievements, leaving an indelible impact on the lives of those we serve, said Dr. Scott Murray, ECISD superintendent. The Direct Admissions Program reflects UTPB's dedication to removing barriers to higher education. For more information about the Direct Admissions Program at the University of Texas Permian Basin, please visit utpb.edu/directadmissions. Midland Energy leaders unite to support Panhandle wildfire disaster relief efforts. In the wake of devastation caused by historic wildfires in the Texas Panhandle, Midland oil and gas companies have stepped up and demonstrated their commitment to local communities and their love for West Texas. With a collective spirit of compassion, industry leaders from Midland have generously donated a total of $200,000 through the Amarillo Area Foundation's Panhandle Disaster Relief Fund. West Texans have a deep connection to the land and a profound love of community, and it comes as no surprise that Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Diamondback Energy, Permian Resources, and Pioneer Natural Resources have joined together and stepped forward as industry leaders in a time of crisis, offering support to those affected by the recent catastrophic wildfires. This contribution highlights the spirit of West Texans who have always stood ready to lend a helping hand to their neighbors in need. The Amarillo Area Foundation's Panhandle Disaster Relief Fund is being used to address the immediate needs of those impacted by the devastating wildfires in our region. Clay Stribling, president and CEO of Amarillo Area Foundation, said in a news release, "We are focused on food, water, shelter, and clothing. We will also work closely with regional providers to address long-term needs for grief and trauma counseling, livestock and agriculture losses, first responder organizations and their readiness, and other needs that arise as we more closely identify the damage done to our communities." The Panhandle Disaster Relief Fund activated in response to the urgent needs of wildfire-affected communities has already allocated over $1.3 million in grants to organizations providing direct relief, from addressing immediate needs such as food, water, and shelter, to facilitating long-term recovery efforts like grief counseling and agricultural support. The foundation reaffirms its mission to enhance the quality of life for all residents of the Texas Panhandle. The recent grants dispersed by the Panhandle Disaster Relief Fund and other funds held at the Amarillo Area Foundation continue to play a crucial role in our ongoing effort to rebuild and restore hope in the wake of these devastating wildfires, said Stribling, "We are so grateful to those who have donated to the fund. The collective effort and donations of Midlands Energy companies, totaling $200,000, exemplify the spirit of community and resilience that defines West Texas. Each contribution will provide help to those affected by the wildfires. Rebuilding will take months and even years for many of the ranchers who lost their entire livelihoods. For more information on how you can support the Amarillo Area Foundation wildfire relief efforts, please visit www.amarilloareafoundation.org.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.